Today is Palm Sunday, which marks the beginning of what we call Holy Week. Holy Week. This is when we commemorate Jesus' final week in Jerusalem leading up to his crucifixion. Palm Sunday is sometimes called the triumphal entry, for reasons we will see in a moment. We'll be in Luke chapter 19, looking at Luke's account of Palm Sunday. And you'll notice that he says nothing at all about palm branches. We know there were palm branches from the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and John. But Luke leaves that detail out and instead focuses on what? Clothes. The people threw their clothes, their outer garments, on the ground. And what would the significance of that be? What is Luke wanting to emphasize? Beginning in verse 28, we learn that Jesus was making his way up to Jerusalem. And he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany, which are two villages just outside of Jerusalem. Before they entered the city, Jesus sent two of his disciples on an errand. He said to them, verse 30, "Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you loosing it?' thus you shall say to him, 'Because the Lord has need of it.'" Jesus sent two of the disciples to find a colt and bring it back to him. And we know it was the colt of a donkey from Matthew's account. This would have been a very young donkey because Jesus said it would be a colt on which no one has ever sat. It would be a donkey that had never been ridden before. So they went and found the colt, just as Jesus said they would. It was tied up, and they untied it, as Jesus had instructed. Sure enough, the owners came to question them, as Jesus had warned. They said, "Why are you loosing the colt?" And the disciples answered, as Jesus instructed. They said, "The Lord has need of him. The Lord has need of him." Apparently, that was a satisfactory answer because they let them take the donkey. There's no record of a conflict over this. "The Lord has need of him" was all they needed to hear, right? The disciples weren't stealing or anything like that. They had permission to take it from the owners. And Jesus knew that would be the case, just as he knew about the other details. But this is fascinating in the original Greek, because the words "Lord" and "owners" are the same word. The difference is that one is singular and the other is plural. But you could read this as "the lords of the donkey came to question them. And the disciples said, 'The Lord has need of him.'" The point being, there are many lords in this life, but there is one Lord that all other lords must submit to: Jesus. When Jesus asks you for your things, you freely give them in obedience. This part of the story foreshadows what will happen when Jesus enters the city. He will be praised as the Lord, and people will give their things, their garments, for his use. The use of the donkey points to Jesus' kingship as well. Zechariah 9 prophesied this event, saying that the Messiah would arrive to Jerusalem on a colt, on the foal of a donkey. Also in the Old Testament, Israel's kings rode donkeys. The law forbid Israel's kings from multiplying horses and chariots. That's Deuteronomy 17. They were supposed to be peaceful kings, not warmongers taking over the world. That's what you use horses and chariots for in the ancient world. For this reason, they rode donkeys, or mules. And there are several examples of that throughout Judges and 2 Samuel. But a prominent one is Solomon. 1 Kings 1 has Solomon riding a mule to his coronation as king. When Jesus rode a donkey into Jerusalem, he was saying that he was the long-awaited Messiah. He was the Lord, the true King of Israel. This was deliberate on Jesus' part, and it fulfilled the prophecies. Verse 35. Then they brought the colt to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Now we come to the garments. When the two disciples brought the donkey to Jesus, it says they placed their clothes on the colt for Jesus to sit on. And then as they went toward the city, people spread their clothes on the road, presumably for the donkey to walk on. Has something like this happened in the Bible before? Yes, it has, and it's another kingly association. In 2 Kings 9, which we heard this morning, the prophet Elisha sent a servant to anoint a man named Jehu to be king. Jehu was a godly warrior, and he would become the 10th king of Israel, the northern kingdom. When he was anointed, what did the commanders of the army do? It says they took their garments and put them on the steps for Jehu to walk on. And they proclaimed, "Jehu is king." So we have garments laid down for a man to stand on, and that man was proclaimed king. What happened with Jesus on Palm Sunday? Garments were spread on the ground, and he was declared to be the king. Verse 37, as he was now drawing near the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory, glory in the highest." This is why it was a triumphal entry. The crowd said, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord," which is a variation of Psalm 118. The actual quote is, "Blessed is he who comes." But the crowd said, "Blessed is the King who comes." They knew what this meant. See? And in the name of the Lord, meaning in the name of Yahweh, Jesus was being proclaimed as God's man, Yahweh's anointed king. They also said, "Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." That sounds similar to the angelic proclamation in Luke 2, doesn't it? The angels told the shepherds that a Savior, Christ the Lord, was born in Bethlehem, and they sang, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth." On Palm Sunday, they say, "Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Similar proclamations about Jesus' kingship were given after his birth and just a few days before his crucifixion. Palm Sunday shows us that Jesus is a new and greater Jehu. Even their names have similar meanings. Jehu means Yahweh is he. Jesus, Yeshua, means Yahweh saves. They both have Yahweh in their name. Jesus is the new Jehu, and the people responded appropriately by throwing down their garments. Let's talk about garments and clothing for a minute. Clothing in the Bible has theological significance, going back to Adam and Eve. When they sinned and fell short of God's glory, they were ashamed of their nakedness. What was originally good and glorious became a source of shame for them. Their original glory had been lost, but God was gracious, and He restored their glory by giving them new skin. New skin, right? Tunics of skin from an animal. And that is the origin of clothing in the Bible. Throughout the Bible, a person's clothing represents their glory. Think of Joseph in Genesis. He was the favored, righteous son who was given a coat of many colors, a glorious garment. In Exodus, God said the priestly garments were for glory and beauty. In Psalm 45, speaks of a royal daughter dressed in glorious garments woven with gold. So let's think about this. If clothing is about a person's glory, then what would it mean to cast your garment down for someone else? Casting down your garment says, I am giving my glory to you. I submit to you. I am your footstool. You can walk on me. I give you my glory because you have the greater glory. You might think of the 24 elders in Revelation casting their crowns down, right? Before God. On Palm Sunday, the multitude was giving their glory to Jesus, submitting to Him and recognizing Him as more glorious than themselves. And at this point, Luke gives us more details that aren't found in the other gospel accounts. Verse 39, and some of the Pharisees called to Him from the crowd, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. But He answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. The Pharisees didn't like it that Jesus was being trumpeted as the Messiah, as the new Jehu. They knew what was going on here. They rejected Jesus as the Messiah, and so they wanted Jesus to rebuke the people for calling Him king, for giving Him praise, and for the celebration with palms and garments. But Jesus said, no, I won't rebuke them. I will accept their praises. But even if they were silent, the stones would cry out. Meaning, I will be praised. Someone or something has to do it. If not people, then the rocks. This cannot be stopped. It must and will happen. No doubt this would have angered the Pharisees. They probably remembered what John the Baptizer said back in Luke 3. Do not say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Maybe Jesus was trying to remind them of John's warning and that they had rejected John just as they were rejecting Jesus. This dialogue with the Pharisees fits well with the Jehu connection. When Jehu was anointed king, it was for the purpose of destroying Ahab and Jezebel. Ahab was a wicked king. Jezebel was his wicked wife. She led Israel into idolatry and had prophets put to death. Yahweh's orders to Jehu were to strike down the house of Ahab so that the blood of the prophets would be avenged. He said, the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and Jezebel shall be eaten by dogs. That's not a nice way to go, is it? Jehu's coronation meant judgment time against unfaithful Israel. He was anointed as God's avenger. When Jesus arrived as the new Jehu, it meant judgment on the new wicked leaders of Israel. Jehu faced Ahab and Jezebel. Jesus faced the Pharisees and the Herods and all the corrupt leadership. Jesus rode in as a new avenger of Yahweh to battle against sin and death and the devil. And how exactly did Jesus go into battle? It wasn't with horses and chariots. It was with humility on a donkey. This type of battle was a self-sacrificial battle. His purpose was to die, but his death would give us salvation. His death would give us life and liberty. Just a few days after Palm Sunday, Luke tells us that Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane at night to pray. And he was in agony over what was about to happen. So much so that his sweat was like great drops of blood falling to the ground. Then Jesus was betrayed by one of his own apostles, Judas. Jesus was arrested and taken to the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council. While there, he was denied by another apostle, Peter. Peter denied him three times before the rooster crowed. And when the rooster crowed, Luke tells us that Jesus turned and looked at Peter. Jesus turned and looked at Peter when the rooster crowed. He looked at one of his closest followers as that follower was denying even knowing him. Jesus was then mocked, blindfolded, and beaten. He was taken before Pilate, then to Herod, then back to Pilate. When he was with Herod, he was mocked and arrayed in a gorgeous robe. Take note of that. A garment was given to Jesus again. This time, not to give him glory, but to ridicule, to mock and make fun. And what a contrast that is to Palm Sunday. Jesus was then sentenced to be crucified, which was the Roman punishment for criminals. Jesus was nailed to the cross with a criminal on his right and a criminal on his left. Darkness covered the land from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. At the ninth hour, Jesus said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And he breathed his last. Jesus' sacrifice was completed. And it was a real, physical, human death. A real death suffered by God incarnate. Then there was a man named Joseph, a Jewish council member who did not consent to Jesus' death. He was a godly man. He loved Jesus. It says Joseph took the body of Jesus, wrapped it in linen, and placed it in a tomb where no one had ever lain before. Does that sound familiar? The colt used on Palm Sunday was a young donkey on which no one had sat. On Good Friday, Jesus was placed in a tomb in which no one had lain. It had never been used before. There's a symbolic connection between these two things. In one sense, we could say the donkey foreshadowed the tomb. Jesus was riding in to die. But in another sense, the tomb reminds us of the triumph of Palm Sunday. It reminds us of the coronation of the new Jehu. And that means the story does not end in the tomb. After the Sabbath, on the first day of the week, there would be reason to celebrate again. Jesus was humble to ride on a donkey and go to the death for you. So you should be humble for him. Throw down your garment. Give your glory to Jesus. Submit to him as king, recognizing that he has the greater glory. And the good news is that Jesus doesn't keep his glory all to himself. He shares it. He shares his glory. He covers you with his garment, his righteousness. He gives you new clothes and he brings you to a banquet. He gives you bread and wine in celebration of his triumph and in anticipation of the victory he will give us on the final day. So give your garment to Jesus, because he has a better one waiting for you.